you know, I'll leave plenty of time for questions. And with work like this, this is the first time I've ever talked about it like this, so I'm going to wing it. And you could kind of start anywhere. And I'm, in some ways, words may not be the best way to talk about it, but because it seems like sometimes the words are just a description and what's really going on is something else. But if you were going to talk about words, most artists, if they're making words or they're making work, what they'd be making is a noun. Does that make sense? They'd be making an object, a thing. Do you guys want to come in? You're welcome to come in. You might need to move over.
Thank you. Sorry.
No problem. You want to start over, Susan?
No.
Okay. All right. So I'm thinking that maybe if I were making words, I'd be making like really simple words like conjunctions, right? I'd be making those little words that you don't think about that connect other things, right? And the funny thing about conjunctions, I didn't really learn this until I went to like a couples therapist. And you know, you're in a couples therapy and you're going, yeah, my partner's really great, but, you know that, like the minute you go but, it's like just sticking a knife in the ribs, right? Nothing good can come after that word but, right? But if you say and, you know, then everything opens up, right? And they're both conjunctions, and they're really simple words, but they make a huge difference in the way things perceive. So I'm trying to make ands here. And almost everything that I'm making is can be hooked up to something else. So if like even like a steel sculpture like right behind you is like what I made is that piece of steel at the bottom that has connections for photographs, right? So anyone could put their work into that slot if it fit, right? And I can change work out whenever I want. Anything that's about an eighth of an inch thick will fit in those slots, right? So in other words, it's about including things. And you know, the more that I do this kind of work, the less I'm concerned about things like authorship. In other words, my background is photo, and photo you know, you go out and you take a little slice of the world or things like that, and more and more that began to feel kind of, I guess like photography is only a couple hundred years old. It's not like painting. It's really new. And 30 years ago, it was wide open. And now, with all the graduate students, schools just pumping out photography, and everybody can do photos now with a cell. You can make great photos with a cell phone. It used to be you had to develop film and, you know, all that stuff. Don't have to do that anymore. So it feels to me like photos almost, it's very hard to do something new in photography that feels game-changing or groundbreaking. But it's not when you include this kind of stuff. This feels like it opens it up again. And so I'm using work, some of the work is the photos like are 20 years old that are in like that piece of the bagels is a good 20 years. And yet now it's really different, right? And other photos are brand new that are here. The other thing I'm thinking about is that it's sort of like, and I'm bouncing around it, I hope it makes sense, but is trying to make, in other words, everything here can be reused, right? All the rebar, it all comes apart. It kind of mimics science because it's laboratory equipment, but what it really allows you to do is put something exactly where you want it and hold it there. And most sculpture, it's really hard to get your stuff to stand up. Just to get it to stand up is tough. But with this kind of equipment, you can just put anything where you want pretty quickly. So the rebar, I guess I could talk about most of this kind of started with rebar. And the rebar comes from buildings that have been demolished. To me that, you know, if you live in a city, it's just constantly changing, right? And new buildings are being built, old buildings are coming down. And there's so many memories associated with those buildings, so much happened to those buildings, and every, you know, that, you know, in a way, well, there's a couple ways you could go here, but the wrecking ball, in a way, creates this rebar, right? The destruction creates this thing, and then what I'm doing is trying to use this twisted rebar to tell a new story. And in many ways, the neon kind of works. I'm thinking in some ways, I mean, what you said is right. That you can look at this a lot of different ways. In some ways, I'm thinking about things like trauma. I'm thinking about the idea that, you know, when of how to explain an event that like I think about a Marine driving in a Humvee and then a bomb goes off underneath. You're just driving along and there's a huge explosion. And you have to explain, like, what happened, right? And it's very hard to get your head around an event like that. And I was just talking to someone earlier, and they've just been in a car accident. It's the same thing. You can't, you have to find a way to explain that. And in some ways, the twisting of the rebar to mimic, of the neon to mimic the rebar is a way the way we tell that story. You tell it again, and you tell it again, and you tell it again until you have this story that sort of fits with what you think happened. And so in a way, there's this idea of a narrative, or building a narrative, or building a story. And, you know, I'm trying to think, it's probably been, I don't want to go over, do you guys have any questions?
It sounds like, out of the ashes, rise again.
Yeah, this just keeps happening, that's right.
I think it's fantastic.
Well, thanks.
I walked in here and I felt an aura, and wherever you look, I really love your work.
Well, thank you. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Do you ever find shapes in, like, what you put together? Like, I know, like, a lot of art like this one, it's up to me to say what it looks like to me. To me, it looks almost like a heart. Did you do that on purpose, or was it?
Yeah.
Okay. So it kind of formed that.
Yeah. I've been casting these forms out of rubber, silicone rubber, that like that one. But they're actually old Diet Pepsi bottles or something like that that's been twisted up. And then I cast rubber and neon and things like that inside. And the laboratory equipment allows you to hook anything else up you want to it. But, yeah, they are like, they're very much like organs.
And these are clamps. To me, they're reminiscent of human forms. And I didn't know whether, like, that was these elements. They looked like
Knuckles or like people?
No, they're like, I don't know. When I first came in, I thought, oh, I'm looking at people holding things together.
Like, I can see that.
Like, you know, and holding each other. And I was like, I thought, oh, maybe that was your, like, intent.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just a perfect artist.
Yeah, I did that, yeah. No, I never thought of that before. They are like little guys up there.
And
yeah.
Talking to each other.
Yeah.
Saying something important about.
Yeah. So I guess another thing I could talk about is, you know, when most art is like an object, like a painting or a framed thing, sort of sits on the wall, and if you turn off the lights. First of all, it's completely finished. You can't add to it. But if you turn off the lights, it doesn't exist anymore, right? It doesn't. You can't see it. And paintings are meant to be seen. So what I've been thinking about a lot is could your work be self-sufficient? Could it like be like that obnoxious dinner guest that brings their own food to the dinner? You know, like this stuff doesn't need gallery lighting. And it doesn't, it lights itself, and it lights itself in kind of a stupid way, and like it's not, like art's supposed to be lit very evenly. And it, you know, when you take pictures of artwork, it's two lights at 45 degree angles, et cetera, so there's no shadows. And my work is about the opposite. And you know, it's clear they're not color corrected or anything like that. But I'm also thinking about that when you make a painting, nobody thinks about the back of the painting or the wall. And I'm thinking that those are really under-regarded spaces, and that if you, these things that are, they're on pre-made stretchers, like you get at the art, you know, at Dick Blick or wherever you guys buy your pre-made stretchers, they don't sit on the wall, they sit off the wall, and they are lit from behind and in front. So they have a, instead of being this thing that's the end, they're sort of in the middle of it, if that makes any sense. And they're also perforated, so that if you look at the, I cut the canvas up before I mount the photograph, so that there's these places where the light will actually come through the image, right? And sometimes I'm not sure where that's going to be. But if it does, you know, so that I'm thinking that the light can be a filter. It can be permeate the, it can be not just the on the front, but can come from behind. And the newest stuff I've been working on are these like here. These are photos, the inkjet prints that I've put on. I've mounted to glass, and then I've hit the glass with a hammer so that it will shatter. And then I've poured resin on the back so that it'll stay exactly where it was. So that those shapes, those are the cracks in the glass. And then it's lit from behind. So that the thing that makes it special is that it's broken. Right? In other words, instead of it being a thing that, like if you drop a paint, if you put a rip in a painting, it's over. But if you drop that on the floor, you could just make it again, you know? And it might get better. And I'm thinking the ratio of how broken something can get is about 2.5. In other words, after 2.5 times, it's just, you get a pile of shit, you know? You just don't have anything left. But there's this point where it gets better, and it gets worse. And
is
so
that the point where you decide to stop?
Well, I'm not. How am I at stopping?
Each of these is different.
I'm a bad stopper.
Slip on it, come
yeah.
back the next
yeah.
day.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't ask me about stopping. But
you know already 2.5.
It's 2.5.
He's had a lot of experience.
Yeah. Maybe 2.35. Yeah, so I'm thinking about, you know, there's this point where, you know, the more broken it gets, the more interesting it gets. Except for neon. When neon breaks, it's yeah. So any other questions?
Could you explain what's happening in there?
Well, that's the that's a video I made of near my kid's school, they were taking down a building. And so I would go talk to the guys, and they let me have some rebar, and they let me take pictures. And they let me videotape. And after a while, they even let me put a GoPro on the wrecking ball, which I thought was
nice.
A super cool idea. And I decided that maybe I could make... There's something about a wrecking ball that's just compelling. I thought maybe I could make a video about that, and then rather than project it on a flat wall, we could project it as a surprise. Someday this building's coming down, you know? it's not going to be here forever. So it's sort of like a foreshadowing.
Any other questions?
Yeah, any...
Well, he's here all evening.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks,
John. Thanks
for coming, you guys. Thank you for... showing up.
He also is giving a workshop and his participants can add some more elements.
Yeah.
I don't know what will stay and what will
stay. Yeah, the last day of the show, when it comes down,
yeah.
You guys, it's the last day. So if anyone wants to like participate in the installation, you guys could come in and add your own work or take work. We could remake it. Or we could add your work, or I'll have new work myself. And I've brought work here that you could start with if you're not sure what to do. In other words, there's some guidelines, like how to make something that fits in that slot, or how to, like there's a space here for, right here is a space for you guys to have, like someone can clip a work of art in here, right? Or there's some pre-existing spaces. There's a space over there for video.